We've got breaking news. A major classified document release exposes the Soros Foundation's tie to the Russia hoax.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Will, is it Friday yet?
It's not, but it feels like it.
It felt like a Friday every day, because you know why? Before we start this program, you just drop a ton of documents on my desk, and you go, you got to read these documents.
Well, sometimes I give them to you way in advance, and you don't read them that early either. So
I'm just saying, within that day,
right?
I'm getting document dumps, because there has been so much that it keeps getting released, so many things that keep getting declassified. All of these things happen over and over again, and each time, by the way, you would guess that they're like not going to be a big deal.
Right.
They seem to be getting bigger and bigger. The snowball keeps snowing, Will.
That's right. Is that a phrase that people say?
I say it.
So what we have today is this declassified annex to the Durham report. So this is a lot of the underlying intelligence that John Durham, the special counsel, looked at.
I don't see a lot of underlying intelligence.
We normally don't. You don't normally get to look at raw intelligence and things of that nature. But this is about a 29-page annex, and it goes through really...
From Chuck Grassley. What do you mean annex?
So Chuck Grassley released this through.
You know, we have a church annex.
Right. Well, it's the same word.
I'm just trying to see. Let's describe this to
I'm about to, yeah. So the annex is a part that was attached to his report that had a lot of the sourcing and the analysis and the actual underlying documents and intelligence that led to his conclusions in the actual report. This is like if you're writing a research paper, this is your source material for a lot of it.
This is why the ACLJ is here, so you don't have to read the annexes.
Right. Well, no one was supposed to be reading the annex until now because it was a classified document. It contained a lot of sources and methods. And even in this, there is a lot of redactions, but there is a lot that you can infer from that, as well as other reporting that lets you know where some of this came from. But this really goes through this classified annex or classified appendix, however you want to refer to it, is it goes through really where a lot of the information came from about the Clinton intelligence plan, the Clinton plan intelligence, which was the entire goal of the Clinton campaign to distract from her own email server issues and to look and put the focus on Donald Trump having ties to Russia.
Once again, just like when Tulsi Gabbard dropped stuff, you go, you got to back this up. And you look through these documents, and it backs it up time after time after time. There are direct instances where you see, it couldn't even be clearer that they were trying to plant this, that they were using sources that were not trustworthy, using Russian sources that they knew were likely creating this content for misinformation, and then citing them to create something again, like the Steele dossier, which then you can report on, then they can cover. Even that is not supposed to be proper, but it was all done with intention, and now it's coming out, and it's coming to light. Now, what can be done about that? We'll talk about that coming up even a little bit later with ACLJ senior attorney CeCe Heil. We also have an update of the ACLJ's work in Syria. I know a lot of you have been really concerned about what's going on there. We got a worldwide audience, and I always love that because, sure, you care about what's going on in the States, but you do have a heart for people and for Christians and for people of all faiths all around the world, that they can practice their beliefs however they feel. And, of course, we're going to talk about what we're doing, like I said, overseas there, and the updates even coming from Israel, as we know there's a lot to unpack. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I've opened up all the lines. So right now there's six lines open. 1-800-684-3110. And again, this is it, by the way. This is our last day of our 35 years of justice drive. And the deadline is midnight tonight to have your donation matched during this really important month. Next month is going to be very important, too. I'm excited about what we're going to roll out for you next month. But right now, so much of this has been centered around the media control, the media bias, what's been going on behind the scenes. So when you give today, know that you also are giving to this broadcast, to all the media elements we do here, because those are just as important, I believe, and maybe it's because, Will, we're on this part of it. I believe it's just as important what we do in the courtroom. Maybe even more so, because thousands of you watch it every day. And you get informed, as I said at the beginning, you get engaged. So I'm going to encourage you right now, go to aclj.org, scan that QR code, we're going to take your calls and comments, and go through this appendix when we get back.
Mm-hmm. In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Secular. We do have some phone lines open by some. I mean, we have all of them open. I'll just tell you. We got a lot of people watching, though, because I know a lot of you are tuning in right now. You can see the numbers rising and rising, especially on the social media platforms we're on, and YouTube and on Rumble, because we get to see those live numbers, which is always great. I'd love to hear from you in the comments as well. Even if you don't have a comment about this topic, let me know where you're watching from. Because when we celebrate 35 years of justice in the ACLJ, I love to see that we're not only reaching all corners of the continental U.S., we're reaching not only Hawaii and Alaska, but a lot of times we have people who are commenting from all over the world. And that's why the ACLJ is involved in that level. That is why we have an ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice, that is funded, again, when you donate to the ACLJ. Part of that will go to there. We have the ACLJ office in Jerusalem. All of these are important that we are there. You know, we can't be that isolated to where you only care about what's going on in our own country. Now, it's important to always keep that front of mind, because usually what happens in these other countries is not too far away from happening here. And we've got to be very careful. Or sometimes it's so extreme that we have to get involved. And you have that coming up in the next segment when CeCe Heil joins us, giving an update of what's going on in Syria. Obviously, a darker matter that we will get into. Now, this is pretty dark as well, but in a different way, in a political way. This is in a Watergate kind of feeling, kind of vibe that you would not expect, or that you probably did expect. Honestly, all this really does, Will, is confirm that the players that you thought were doing this were the players that were doing this, and if you thought they were doing it, you were right.
Well, and one of the things that is now coming to light is we've heard all about the hacking of the DNC by the Russians, and that was always kind of the focus, hacking of the DNC. But what we're finding out is that it wasn't just a targeted attack of the DNC email servers and addresses. Actually, this was a very broad Russian campaign where they were hacking government agencies, they were hacking nonprofits, they were hacking think tanks and things of the like. And one of those happened to be the Open Society Foundation. That's George Soros, used to be known as the Soros Foundation, which has been a boogeyman of sorts for conservative politics for a long time because of all of the work they do to
huge influence.
I mean, they spend a lot of money to elect Democrats and push their agenda on the world.
And I don't think they would tell you otherwise.
No, they would agree that that's what they do.
They are a multi-billion dollar organization that is here to get their ideas across, and understandably. But sometimes their ideas not only disagree with you, but disagree with really not only the vast majority of American people, but really kind of a lot of times American values.
That's right. Yeah. And what we've seen, with whether it be the local DAs, they spend money to elect to change the way the nature of our judicial system works, all the way up to communicating with DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz during the 2016 election cycle. And this is now the documents that we were talking about earlier in the week. Remember, we told you about that there was the Dutch intelligence agency told the CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency, right?
You said Dutch.
No, it was the Dutch.
Yeah,
no,
the Dutch intelligence.
I mean, but that's not what it's called.
I like to call it.
You're going to go with that. We have a DIA here.
No, but this is the DDIA.
All right, that's fair. And so the Dutch told the CIA, hey, we were spying on Russia, and we found their intelligence on what they were picking up from these hacks, including the Soros Foundation, reading these emails between individuals in the Clinton campaign, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as well as the Soros Foundation. And so they have not only some of the underlying emails, they also have the memos Russia was creating about their intelligence, what they were finding out. And here is one of the very first things that is fascinating, is that they picked up this confidential discussion during the Soros Foundation representative for Eurasia with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chair of the DNC, and it was characterizing the situation in her party in light of the growing scandal around Hillary Clinton as follows. Information released to the media in the last few days about FBI investigating possible corruption related to the Department of State under leadership of Clinton, preferential treatment of donors of the Clinton Foundation caused a significant negative reaction inside the party. According to Wasserman Schultz, FBI so far does not have persuasive evidence against Hillary Clinton because of the timely deletion of relevant data from email servers. Obama has no intention to darken the final part of his presidency and legacy by scandal surrounding the main contender for the Democrat Party. To solve the problem, the president puts pressure on the FBI director, James Comey, through Attorney General Lynch. However, so far, without concrete results, meaning that the scandal was continuing to build. They also have these emails talking about the member of the Soros Foundation telling Debbie Wasserman Schultz that he's been speaking with someone at the Clinton campaign about tying President Trump to Russia. Now, you also look at all this, and this is an intel report of an intel report. So we should caution people that there's a reason we don't see underlying intelligence often. We see the conclusions from it because it can get messy, and we have to describe each layer of where it came from. But what John Durham gets to in this is that they did the investigation of this intelligence. Also, the CIA director thought it was credible enough to take it to the President of the United States himself and even took it to James Comey in this referral. So they believed that this was credible evidence. John Durham actually did the investigation on the back end with these individuals reporting them. When they talk about these emails, what the Durham believes and what the intelligence community believes is that all of these reports are a composite of all the stuff they got. So they had emails of different individuals from Soros Foundation, from DNC, all talking about these things, and they compiled these reports together. So this isn't a verbatim quote when you read this of what was said, but this is what was said, and the intelligence community believed it, as well as the Durham report, and John Durham, the special counsel, said this is credible. You know what also makes it credible?
They just wanted to believe
it. It's how it played out.
Yeah.
Because now we know history. So they were talking about their plan to tie President Trump to Russia
and
all these things.
And then still happens.
Even saying the FBI will add fuel to the fire once we disseminate it through sources like CrowdStrike. They were talking about all this in the emails and stuff before it happened. And we know that's exactly what happened.
I think that's why I said earlier, it's not necessarily this is all surprising that it happened. It's surprising that the paper trail is this clear, that it's clear that it happened. They were not being that quiet about it. It's in emails that maybe they hoped were deleted. Maybe they hoped got ended up in a burn bag, but now are available for all of us to at least read portions of it and the findings. You can break down all the findings. I think we should go through those in the next couple segments, because you can go through what he did was when Chuck Grassley released this, he also released sort of a summary. So you guys don't have to read every single page. I encourage you, if you want to, go feel free to do it. But I want to take a call real quick from Michael in Florida, because I think it's something we can answer. Michael is watching on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube right now, by the way, hit that thumbs up. That really helps. And if you are not just a keyboard warrior, you want to call in, It's a great time to do it as we got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Michael, go ahead.
Gentlemen, I have kind of a global ideology kind of question, and that is, why do you think these people, even within our own government, want to bring this country down or tear it apart? I mean, what is the end game? Is it greed? Is it power?
I think you just answered it. I think they want to bring the country down. I don't know what that means, but they want it to be remade in their image. They want it to be remade in the messages that they have. They do not like that there are people who disagree with them, who have other thoughts. And what's a shame about that is it's some of the strongest, most powerful people in the country. Okay, we at least for a brief moment felt like Elon Musk was someone who we could go, oh, finally, at least there's a billionaire who feels like he at least can relate to us a little bit. And of course, inevitably, we knew that was probably going to end poorly, and who knows where that is. He's kind of just, we don't hear really much a lot from Elon. But when you have people with this much money and this much power, well, of course, there is a want, especially when they have a belief that is so, like I said, it's not people who disagree with you. It's not just like, oh, I'm a Republican, oh, I'm a Democrat. We can find our medium ground here. We can work together. You're talking about people who fundamentally disagree with the foundation of the country.
That's right. It's about control, power, greed in the sense that they want more power, and maybe not just money, because a lot of these people have lots of money.
Power while also providing socialist ideas.
That's right.
Because they want to be the king.
They want control. They don't want you to have a First Amendment right. They don't want you to be able to practice your faith, to speak your mind, to speak truth to power against government corruption. They don't want you to have that. That is why they attack our Constitution at every step, and why the ACLJ has to fight back at every step. It's even down to the seeing these cities in conservative states that go after pro-life protesters, that go after Bible clubs or people posting notices in the cities and states not wanting to do anything to support the First Amendment rights. And we talk about the Open Society Foundation, the George Soros Foundation. Individuals like that from that foundation have done a lot of work to make at the local level the district attorneys that are extremely left-wing and liberal, they get elected because they pump hundreds of thousands of dollars in races no one pays attention to.
And then they create messaging that a lot of people can get behind, because a lot of people suffering, a lot of people feel like that can be their savior, or they want to see other people suffering because they are suffering. It's a sad state of affairs. We do need to have some economic reform. We do need to figure certain things out, but this isn't the way to do it. Well, look, we got a lot coming up. CeCe's joining us in the next segment, one of our senior attorneys here, to break down what we're doing also around the world in Syria. And we're going to continue this conversation as well. So phone lines are open. Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. As it's the last day of our 35 years of Justice Drive. And when you give today, your donation is doubled. We'll be back with so much more on Seculum.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want to make it perfectly clear. We're going to get back to this topic, break down everything that was in this annex, because it is really, really important for you to hear about it, because it's breaking news. We will get to it. However, as we are in the last day of our 35 years of Justice Drive, I want to make sure you are keenly aware of what's going on with the work of the ACLJ. And I know one of the topics, and we can tell by the way you respond, whether you're on our email list, which should be anyway, and the way people respond to those emails, we can track a lot of the topics you care about. And this one may honestly have been a bit of a surprise that you have really shown up for. But I'm thrilled, because I love when we can talk about what's going on around the world. And I love when the ACLJ can get involved even beyond our borders. So let's talk about CeCe Hiles joining us right now. Maybe give a bit of a rundown of what was going on in Syria, how we got involved, and then, of course, the new movement.
Sure. And I'll just give a little bit of history with Syria. There are about 2 million Christians that lived in Syria before the 2011 Arab Spring. And then by the end of Assad's regime, December of 2024, there are only 500,000 Christians remaining in Syria. So there has been, obviously, you know, persecution going on, Syrian Christians leaving because of the persecution. And we have seen since this regime change from Assad to Ahmed al-Shara, he claims that he's a little bit more calm and, you know, open arms with Christians and not so Islamic. But really, we're not seeing that. So we have seen Christians being killed in Syria. On June 22nd, there were 25 Christians killed and 63 injured at a church in Damascus during a Sunday mass. And then on the 13th of July, there was a car bomb attack, again targeting a Christian church that was thankfully foiled. But this is going on. And so we are doing a report at the United Nations. The Human Rights Council is having their 60th session, and we get to send in reports and talk about the religious liberty violations that are happening in Syria. And we are pointing that out. And we actually have on the ground sources to church leaders there in Syria, to NGO leaders, Christian NGO leaders there in Syria that we have interviewed. And we will be giving this report and requesting the request that we are making to the United Nations is to officially recognize Syrian Christians as an at-risk group, because as we've talked about a lot of times Christians aren't the ones that get pointed out as an at-risk group. We've heard about the Druze community, we've heard about the Alawite community, you know, 1,400 slaughtered, 1,000 slaughtered, but we usually don't hear about the Christian persecution. So that's what we're pointing out. We want investigation, we want an immediate implementation of a pluralistic and inclusive constitutional process, because again, they just had a switch over with leaders from Assad to al-Shara, and then encourage the local government to ensure the protection of minorities, including Christians, and reinforce targeted sanctions against the perpetrators of these human rights violations.
And CeCe, that's one of the other things I wanted to point out, is that not only are we utilizing our tools and our offices and attorneys to go to the UN and make these declarations and send these reports in, and even as we talked about the other day, that with the Democratic Republic of Congo, sorry about that, that the UN ended up putting out a very positive, forceful statement because we do work there, that right. We are able to bring light to the situation and hopefully get action done. Us being able to go there, it's not just us reading the news reports, compiling what we see. We have contacts. We have sources that we can get to on the ground in Syria to get a full picture and reporting of what's going on, and then move forward with this at the UN to make a difference and let the world see what's going on and hopefully protect people that are being killed and slaughtered for their faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very important, too, what The UN appreciates the fact that we do have on-the-ground sources, and we're able to say, this is not just what we're reading in the media, this is what we are being told from our on-the-ground sources. And one of the quotes, I'll just read it, and it's from a Christian there, our on-the-ground source. If I ask Christians what they want today, they will all say to leave Syria. They are afraid for their children's future and of the specific violence targeting women. And so we have specific statements, and the fact that, you know, they're forced, these Christians are forced to teach Sharia law in their schools, to hire principals with degrees in Islamic law, to enforce gender segregation, all in direct contradiction with the Syrian Christian educational tradition. And so those are things, again, that you don't hear in the media, that the UN typically won't hear. We get to tell the UN, look, do not, again, don't forget about the Christians being persecuted in Syria.
Yeah, if they're the ones who are really in need of asylum or seeking refugee status somewhere because they don't want to do this and feel like they're being persecuted against, sure, there's those processes that we should be looking into for them. But of course, mainly, you just want to see Syria change what's happening. Not as easy as it sounds, obviously, right. But we do have the status to go in there, and they pretty much have to listen to us.
Yes, absolutely. And so after we submit this report, this is when the written submissions are due for the 60th session of the Human Rights Council. But then later on, they will actually meet in person, and we will then do oral interventions. We will be there in person and giving this same request to the Human Rights Council in person there in Geneva.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really important that the ACLJ even has the ability to do that. Just understand, most of these organizations you hear from, one, we're not just a radio show. We're not just a television show. We're not just on social media. Like I said, they go hand in hand. I want to make sure it's always important to say our media team to me is just as important as our legal team. But when you hear what we can actually do on a worldwide stage, and I see the comments of everyone watching around the world, and there's clearly the mass majority of you watching are in the States, but there are always a handful that come in telling us where they're watching from. And some of them, maybe they're expats who've been supporting us for a long time, but a lot of them are not. A lot of people that are just finding you because we're able to offer this broadcast for no cost, with no paywall, and available really around the world. If there's YouTube or if there's Rumble in your town, if you have access to it, and a lot of people do, even in countries where they say they aren't, we know that a lot of people figure out ways to do it. And we know that at least people can hear that we are speaking out for them and that we can be there at the UN stage, whether that's with our ECLJ or whatever it may be. And it's important, as we are on this last day of our 35 years of Justice Drive. You've heard about this work. We're going to move on, by the way, back into the segment. So if you want to call in and talk about the declassified appendix that came out to the Durham report, everything that we broke down, we're going to break it down even deeper and go through it and how the Soros Foundation was really involved. Again, not a lot of shocking revelations. But confirmations, shocking confirmations. And we're going to talk about that, Will, coming up in the next segment.
That's right, as well as there is a portion of this declassified annex that goes into, there was reports that the FBI had of an actual individual that traveled to the United States at the direction of a foreign government to embed themselves within a campaign. It's not the campaign that you're probably thinking based off what the media has told you. And also the shocking response of the FBI to that. We'll get to that in the next segment. Yep. Stick around. Yeah, you don't want to miss it.
Half hour coming up now. If you don't get us on your local station or you think you're done, don't be done. Stick around. ACLJ.org or on YouTube or Rumble. We're broadcasting live there right now. We broadcast live each and every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And of course, you can catch us later on the podcast or however you get your show. You can watch us archived. But I encourage you to join us live. I really enjoy seeing the comments come in. All the comments. So throw some comments in where we have this very short break. But in that short break, because some of you will leave us, please consider supporting the work of the ACLJ. It's the last day to have your donations doubled during 35 years.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour coming up for you right now. We are going to restate the facts because we are, of course, a lot of you join us here at the second half hour. Maybe you're on your lunch break. Maybe you're checking out for a second. You can come back in because, Will, the breaking news item that we said, you see the headline, major classified document release exposes Soros Foundation and their involvement in the Russia hoax. That sounds like a lot of words, but the difference is this time, those words have backup. Those words have meaning because of the really almost confirmations that are in this report. And this report came from Chuck Grassley.
That's right. So he is the one who released this. That's what this is the full classified annex or appendix to the John Durham Special Counsel report. And it is revealing a lot of interesting facts here that we knew the core of this. We knew that that the Russia collusion hoax began with the Clinton campaign, and that they'd been planning it for a while before they even got the Steele dossier and put that stuff out. But they had been trying to distract from Hillary Clinton's own woes with her classified email scandal. And now we're seeing the coordination between the DNC, the Clinton campaign, as well as the people in groups like the Soros Foundation, the Atlantic Council, a lot of other these think tanks, nonprofits that were working and had all of their communications scooped up by Russians. And then the Russians were writing reports on it. But I mean, they said they wanted to help Donald Trump, but they had this information that was damaging to Hillary Clinton, her campaign, the DNC, and every parade of Democrat activists and people. And they did nothing to hurt her. They sat on it. We found out about it through the Dutch. But here's another interesting thing, Logan. I teased this in the last segment. There was credible reports that the FBI had about election interference or foreign influence on a president should she have become president, where a person who is not an American was sent to the United States and asked by a foreign government to help facilitate this plan, where this person would go, starting back in 2014, to embed themselves within the Clinton campaign and operation to one day have influence over the president of the United States. We don't know what the government was or who the person was, but what we do know is that the FBI sought a FISA to cover this person, so to be able to scoop up their intelligence, spy on them, learn who they're talking to and what they're talking about. But one field office tried to expedite that, but somehow it got caught in limbo. And agents told the special counsel the application lingered because everyone was super careful and scared with the big name Clinton involved. They were pretty tippy-toeing around Hillary Rodham Clinton because there was a chance she would be the next president.
That's the actual terms, tippy-toeing.
Yeah, it's in quotes. It says tippy-toeing around. So they were concerned that if Hillary Clinton became president, they didn't want them to find out they were spying on someone that was a foreign agent embedding themselves in the Clinton campaign. However, they lied to a FISA court to get a FISA on Carter Page related to the Trump campaign. And they also sent spies not on a presidential candidate, but on the president of the United States' office in the White House. If this doesn't show you that they had a bias towards one in trying to help them get elected, Hillary Clinton, as opposed to trying to tear down and hamstring a presidential actual term, I don't know what else will.
Look, I want to take more calls during this half hour than usual. We don't have any guests coming up for the next half hour, so that means you're our guest, and I want to hear from you. Be our guest, Will. 1-800-684-3110. Two of you are on hold. We got four lines opened. Great time to call in. Let's just get through as many calls as we have. If you have questions about this, Will knows everything. Okay, he has studied it. He has, memorized it. He spent a lot of time with it.
Tippy-toeing.
Just tippy-toeing around. Don't you love that your government has that in their documents? Listen, last day. It's here. 35 years of Justice Drive. Be a part of it right now. I encourage you to scan the QR code. And if you do it right now, by the way, tell me in the comments. Know how much I appreciate it. Or ACLJ.org.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Phone lines are jamming up, thankfully. I'm very excited that you actually wanted to call in. If you push them hard enough, well, sometimes they'll cave and they'll actually...
If you push them, they will call. That's from a film, I believe.
Yeah, I'm trying to come with a good
phone bank of dreams.
Oh, that's... I feel like we could do better.
We could, but
while we take
spot,
this next call, I'm
going
to come up with a better Field of Dreams parody.
Good.
All right. Michael's calling from New Hampshire. Online, too. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'd like to know if there is anything actually criminal that these people who are involved in this hoax, the higher-ups, from Obama to Brennan to Clapper to Comey, including even the Soros organization, can be prosecuted for. Because if no one is really held accountable legally, so what? They'll do it again.
Well, Michael, I think to one point, campaign misinformation or trying to use campaign propaganda against the candidate and try to make them feel like they're close to someone isn't necessarily illegal. I mean, that's literally every campaign. They try to taint the entire reputation of the opposing candidate by trying to tie them to things in their past or tie them to a bill that they maybe supported or things of that nature. Like that's politics. It's a dirty game, and that's the point of it. So the fact that the Clinton campaign and the Open Society Foundation, all of these things, that they were having these discussions or this plan in and of itself would not be something that would be criminal. But what is interesting is that even some of the staffers, and this came from the Russian intelligence reports that the Dutch gave us, but also that was then kind of verified by Durham, is that the staffers were trying to get information and or pass information to law enforcement when they knew that this stuff wasn't real. They were trying to get it to the FBI. And we know that John Brennan, he said that he called the Russians and told them to knock it off after he briefed the president on the Dutch information. What's curious about that, in hindsight, is that all the information they got from the Dutch was how Hillary Clinton was about to try and tie Trump to Russia. And that's what was in the Russian stuff. And now, yes, they'd hacked, they'd gotten this information, but this is what John Brennan saw and then called the Russians and said, knock it off.
You know what we call that, Will?
What? Cover-up.
Field of schemes.
Field of schemes. Much
there
better.
Go. Yeah, there
much
go.
Better. But when you look at that and you're like, okay, was he telling them to knock it off because now foreign partners knew of the Clinton campaign scandal? This is all just hypothetical or trying to game this out. Or was he saying stop hacking because he didn't want more people to know? That is what is curious, is that he effectively tipped the Russians off that our partner was spying on them, which would end that spying. So they weren't going to get any more information out of that pipeline. Yeah. Because he burned the source to the Russians.
Here's what I got to say. If our social media team, well, now we're going to prove if they're actually watching the show or listening. Because if they don't have a field of schemes, I mean, that should be a known video release.
Oh, right.
It should be a parody thing that you guys get to work on right now. So we'll see. They may have been checked out for the summer, but we'll find out. Let's go to Terry, who's calling, who is an ACLJ champion. And by the way, I haven't said what that is today. An ACLJ champion, for those who don't know, is someone that gives on a recurring basis like a membership, who says, I'm going to be part of the baseline of the ACLJ. I'm going to give on a monthly recurring basis. Now, with that, of course, you can cancel any time, and it's a donation that's tax deductible, all those things. But people like Terry can call in, and one of the perks that I personally offer, again, this isn't one of the ones listed on the website, is if you tell the phone screener you're a champion and we confirm it, we get you to the front of the line. So, of course, he had to wait a lot less, or Terry had to wait a lot less than they would have normally. Let's go to Terry in Missouri on line one.
Go ahead. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say I'm honored and humbled to be a part of doing the Lord's work with you. As Mark 4:22 says, that there's nothing hidden but to be revealed and nothing secret but to be brought to light. And thank you for doing that for us.
Well, Terry, I'm glad you called in. And I have to say, I know you're thanking us, but know how much I'm really thanking you. And these aren't planned calls. This is not how this works here. But when I hear someone like Terry who's saying, I'm going to give, and look, we made it intentional also that being an ACLJ champion, it's not on a tiered basis. You can give $5, you can give $500, you can give $50, you can give $5,000 a month. And the playing field is still level with that. Sure, if you want to give a major donation, do that. We can get you with the right people to do that. But if you want to give on a monthly basis, it's very easy. All you have to do is go to ACLJ.org and opt in. When you make your first donation, you can just opt in. Again, you can opt in. I think the least you can do, I think, is $5. And that is just because of processing fees and how that all works. And you name what you feel like you're comfortable with as a champion, and you can adjust that. I encourage you today to become a champion. It's a great way, because during these kind of drives, like the 35 Years of Justice drive, someone is ready to match your first donation. So when you say, hey, I'm going to give $50, essentially your first month, you don't get charged $100, but it's $100 in value to us and the organization. So your donations are doubled. Will, should we keep going on calls? You got something you want to say?
We should, but I do want to add this to, that caller that asked, could anything criminal come of this?
Yeah, I think that's a question that I see a lot. People just assume no. They assume statute of limitations, or they decide, hey, we've kind of been through this before.
Right, and that is what the DOJ is looking into right now. They have the criminal referrals. They said they're looking into it. I mean, there is lots of evidence of crimes being committed throughout this. Everyone wants to know if it's going to be President Obama. We've already discussed that many times about the immunity ruling and how that could affect this. But we're even seeing things like this because Tulsi Gabbard just released, she's the Director of National Intelligence, that this was right before we started this broadcast. She put out that a new whistleblower reveals how they were threatened by a supervisor to go along with the Obama-directed Russia hoax intelligence assessment, even though they knew it was not credible or accurate. The whistleblower refused. Yesterday, we released the whistleblower's firsthand account of what happened in crafting of the January 2017 ICA, their years-long efforts to expose the egregious manipulation and manufacturing of intelligence carried out at the highest levels of government, and the IC detailed in our previous release how they were repeatedly ignored. So there are people coming forward. It's up to the Department of Justice and the laws of this country, because we are a country of laws, whether or not people will be. I mean, that's what we say.
I don't know. I've seen the news. It doesn't feel like it sometimes.
Well, they said no one was above the law.
Yeah.
That's what they told us.
It doesn't feel like there's a lot of law.
Well, what we do know is that they are looking into it. And to me, this should have been prosecuted a long time ago, because especially with all the evidence that's coming to light. But there was a cover-up. There was definitely, as Tulsi Gabbard described it, a years-long coup trying to undermine a sitting president by the very government he was the executive of. And that cannot happen again in this country.
And I don't think you have it right now. I think that's why you have a very different vibe coming from the Trump administration, 2.0, because it feels like a lot of those people are coming and going if you're going to play those kind of traditional Washington games. And that's kind of interesting to see, because this doesn't feel like the just a second term presidency. It feels like a brand new run at it.
That's right. And I think that's exactly right. And we also saw, why were they so terrified when Doge started laying off career people? And you saw people on MSNBC, this is going to destroy the very fabric of our country. This is anti-democratic. This is what a dictator does. They just go through and they clean house.
It says, like, unnamed sources.
Right. What happened during the first Trump administration? All those people still had their jobs. And what were they doing? Undermining the presidency. And we have all the receipts here as they're being laid out. Yeah, people in those positions that saw their bureaucratic title is more important than the constitutional branches of our government should no longer work for the government. That's just the fact of the matter. So when they were so terrified about what was happening, when there were mass layoffs at these agencies and bureaucrats, it should have happened a long time ago. And now we're seeing they have the freedom to put this stuff out now because you're not seeing the resistance from within as much anymore.
Hey, we got one line open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That means if you're Barry or Nancy or Colleen or Bobby or James, I'm going to encourage you to stay on hold. And we're going to get back to you in the next segment. We're going to take as many calls as we possibly can. But there's still one line open. So get in hold. If we have six calls, we can probably get through all of them if you work fast. So we'll do our best to get through every call that comes in the next segment. With that being said, we are just midnight is the deadline, but for the last time you're going to hear from me talk about this is in the next 5 minutes, the next 10 minutes. You're not going to hear from me talk about our 35 years of Justice Drive. Now tomorrow, something new's coming, and I'm excited about that as well. You know what? It's always good to refresh. It's always good to have something new to talk about, and we will. And a lot of comments are coming in. You've seen videos from my dad and from my brother. Of course, they are hard at work. My brother will be back in town, I believe, next week, so you'll hear him on the broadcast. You'll hear some of our other senior attorneys. Again, remember that there's the media side and the legal side. We work in tandem. We work together, same organization. When you donate, you're donating to both. But of course, there's a lot of different work that's happening all the time. That's why you can sort of now have the broadcast team, and then you have the legal team. And those will intersect, you know, over and over again. You heard from my dad just this week. I'm sure you'll hear from my brother next week and my dad again. It's just the nature of the beast that we live in right now. And I thank you all who have been enjoying this show. We've seen numbers rise dramatically for those who watch this broadcast, especially on platforms like YouTube. And know that we want to provide this show on YouTube. We want to put it on Rumble. We want to put it on the Salem News Channel. We want to put it on all the places where free audiences can still see it or hear it, even to terrestrial radio or wherever it may be, because we think it's that important. I don't want you to have to log in to enjoy our broadcast. I don't want you to have to log in when you want to send it to a friend. But we can't do that. We can't keep it free without you. So what I want you to do is go to ACLJ.org. Again, if you hear local ads in your area, it's not going to us, it's going to the station. Support our broadcast, support our organization at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with your phone calls.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take all your phone calls and comments coming up here in just a second. I did want to take a brief break in this. Look, I'm going to say this. If you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to keep your comments respectful. I do want to say our prayers and our support are to our friends, the Osteen family, Joel Osteen, Victoria, everyone, the kids, the Lakewood Church community, because of the passing of Joel's mother and the matriarch, really, of that entire ministry that has been going on for so many years. An incredible story, a woman who was diagnosed with cancer, told she had weeks to live, and 44 plus years later, she was still out there fighting the good fight, passed away over 90 years old. And what an incredible life, an incredible story. But we know losing a parent, losing anyone in your family, they've been very good to me, very good to my family. So again, I just want to make sure that you know that our prayers, our love are to you right now during these times. So even when it's someone who had lived such an incredible life in their 90s, it still doesn't make it any easier. So I wanted, again, just to make sure that we send that message of love out to our friends in Texas at Lakewood Church and the Osteen family. With that, I'm going to move on and take some phone calls. We did write a great article about that. I encourage you, if you want to know more about her story, on CCM Magazine, a magazine my wife and I do, you can go find a story we did this morning about her life. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty beautiful. With that, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Nancy, who is listening on ACLJ.org, which is a great place to watch and listen, by the way. If you don't know, if you're like, I don't know if I should go to YouTube or Rumble, wherever, ACLJ.org, you can always watch right there.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a question, sorry about this, Logan, about Jeffrey Epstein's problem.
Okay.
I was watching the local news last night, and on some of the scrolling stuff, news that comes over the bottom of the TV, it said that the Senate had used some obscure rule to force President Trump to release the Epstein documents. Now, I was under the impression, because I thought I'd heard last week, week before, whenever, that the DOJ had was going to release it, and a judge had told them they could not. So how could the Senate force the release if the judge said no?
I did not see that, but I can see by the nodding by Will Haynes, the king of the Epstein files. I don't know if that's a good... I would not call me that.
I would not call me that.
I got to make pop in the credit audience. They're laughing. You probably knew something about this, though.
So this is where the Democrats are trying to play politics with this after years and years of not caring and saying it's conspiracy theory. But Chuck Schumer sent last night to... as well as other senators, it wasn't just Chuck Schumer, but he's the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, to send a letter to Pam Bondi, and they're trying to use U.S. Code Section 2954 of Title V, which holds that the executive agency, on request of the Committee of Homeland Security and Government Affairs of the Senate or any five members thereof, shall submit any information requested if of it relating to any matter within the jurisdiction of the committee. So they're using their oversight function as the Senate to try and force the release of documents to them. Then Congress has a lot of authority of reading things into the record on the floor to get around even classification rules, things of that nature. They have that privilege. So they are trying to force it using their oversight duties in the Senate to get this information to the Senate.
I want to take some more calls. And look, I have a glitch on my screen right now, so I know who's on, but I have no idea what you're saying. So it's going to be fun. You know, a little dealer's choice here. We'll go. I'm going to trust you guys. Let's go to Colleen in Virginia on line four. Go ahead, Colleen.
Well, hi, everybody there at ACLJ. I just wanted to thank you for your broadcast. I think I would say that a lot of people in America would not get all of the background of the front page if it were not for your broadcast, and I'm very thankful myself. I've heard a lot of things that I've been able to react to, and thank you for all that you do. And I also called in today for a donation to your agency.
Thank you so much, Colleen. Know how much that means to me. Look, I think what makes our show different, and it has for the this show, I mean, obviously the organization's been around 35 years. This show's been on the air for 27 of those years, is we have always been dedicated to telling you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not, whether it makes you feel happy because it's your point of view, No, we will always tell you the truth. We will always tell you what's actually going on behind the scenes because we've lived it, we've been through it, and there's no reason to keep that from you. Thank you, Colleen, though, for supporting the work of the ACLJ. Everyone in this room is thankful for you because we would not be able to do it without you. Let's continue on. Bobby's calling in New York, listening on AM radio. Classic. Bobby, you're on the air.
I was joking around with you last week. I'm the one that called you the rascal, and then I said, you better watch out for the strike force. Of course, you took me seriously, but I wasn't serious.
No, I knew you were joking, Bobby. Go ahead.
But listen, I'm angry because I just found out that Steve Bannon, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Matt Gaetz have come out so much anti-Israel. I'm surprised, yeah. Especially Steve Bannon. What's your reaction?
Yeah, my reaction to that is it's really unfortunate to see a lot of these right-wing pundits take it so far, whether that is Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, of course, Steve Bannon, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I understand it's hard to look at some of the imagery out of Israel and not have some sympathy for what's going on. I would love to see the war end in Gaza. I would love to figure out a solution to end all of this. However, it's been very disappointing to me. It's been scary to me, to be honest, to see a lot of these people who have major influence in this conservative sphere to now be turning on Israel. Because if they've turned on Israel and the left turns on Israel, who is left? It's looking a little like 80 years ago, looking a little like 90 years ago in this world. It's not that fun to walk around, okay? Can get a little scary. So with that, I understand what you're saying, but I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed in them. Not that I am that shocked, because most of them, you got to remember, and I'm not talking about the ones that are in office, but the ones who are trying to get clicks, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get people to watch their show. They're trying to get people who are going to spread their clips. And you're not going to be able to do that by just being honest and just telling people what's going on in the world. Telling you where Israel is right, telling you where Israel is wrong. Telling you where America is right, telling you where America is wrong. That is not the bread and butter for most people. They want to hear what they want to hear, or they want something controversial. It's not what we do here. But I appreciate you calling in. Let's try to get two more at least. Barry, quickly. We're running out of time, Barry, but go ahead. Montana.
Yes, Barry from Montana. Quick question. On the FISA judges getting false information, perjury information, what is the judge's response back to that?
Well, when it came to them lying, it was actually a CIA analyst that lied on the FISA application related to Carter Page. And he was charged and got basically a slap on the wrist. I think it was just probation. Definitely no jail time was involved there, which is absolutely ridiculous. Using one of the most secretive processes in our government to obtain warrants to spy on American citizens, avoid their due process rights because it's not an adversarial scenario there. You see that, and this spy for the CIA got just a slap on the wrist for basically violating constitutional rights of an American citizen.
All right. Thank you, Barry. We got 1 minute left. Rachel, give me like 15 seconds. Go ahead.
All I want to know is all these investigations about all these different people, why is it that no one's being brought to justice?
You feel that way, Rachel, right now, but know that these are long processes, and what you're actually seeing is an administration pushing a different narrative, if you will. They're finally taking action. So give them some time. Trust me, I feel the same way. It feels like this always happens. We uncover all this evidence and nothing happens. If that's the case soon, it is what it is. But you know what? Let's give them a chance. With that, we are wrapping up in 30 seconds on air. Of course, you got till midnight tonight, our 35 years of justice drive, where donations are all doubled. Whether you're supporting Christians around the world, like they're being persecuted in places like Syria, Nigeria, the Congo, or you want to support our European Center, or you care about people right here at home who simply maybe can't start a Bible club, because we're still fighting those little battles. They're not little. They sound little, but they're not, because of you. ACLJ.org/35. Talk to you tomorrow.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to ACLJ.org.